Here's a surprising stat for you, Unpacked listeners. Toronto is one of the most diverse cities in the world, so no matter what you travel for, you will find it here. You can browse vintage stores in Kensington Market, or eat dumplings in Little Tibet, or explore the fascinating history of footwear at Bata Shoe Museum. Even better, the city is an easy flight away from most American cities, so it's the perfect place for a long weekend. Find your Toronto at destinationtoronto.com. I'm Aislinn Green, and this is Unpacked, the podcast that unpacks one tricky topic in travel each week. Today, we're heading to the Maldives to explore the complex world of staff housing in luxury environments. Now, many years ago, my sister worked as a sous chef on a cruise ship that would sail around the Hawaiian Islands. This was long before the drama of Below Deck, but I remember being so surprised by the contrast between her living conditions and those of the guests. I think she shared her bunk room with three other women. Of course, the guests were paying to be there and she was getting room and board, but still, ever since then, I've thought about what goes on behind the scenes of hotels, cruise ships, and luxury resorts. What are the conditions like for people who work there, and especially for people who have to live there? It's a question that has lingered in the mind of Sally Cohn as well. If that name sounds familiar to you, you may have seen her as a commentator on CNN. Or maybe you read her book, The Opposite of Hate, A Field Guide to Repairing Our Humanity. Sally is an activist, a writer, and a fantastic speaker with a keen eye for issues around social justice and diffusing conflict. She's written for Afar several times and is just an all-around wonderful human. Last year, she emailed to say that she'd heard about a new kind of staff housing on a remote island resort in the Maldives, a kind of staff housing that provides workers with comfort, space, and dignity. Let's see what she found.
I'm at the Ritz-Carlton Maldives in the Farey Islands, where it seems like everyone else is on their honeymoon. And let me tell you, I think they do honeymoons pretty well here at the Ritz. But there's something else the Ritz-Carlton in the Maldives does extremely well, maybe better than any other remote luxury island destination.
Why did you come to the Maldives?
I don't know. I don't even remember. It's just like one of my friends, actually, she's the one who visited first in Maldives, and then she said, okay, Abby, this place is beautiful, you should come. My name is Abby, and I'm a spa therapist in the Ritz-Carlton Spa.
Abby has worked in the Maldives for 13 years, and at all the other resorts she worked at, she lived in the middle of the island. Maybe you've never thought about it, but if you go on vacation on a remote island, remote, by definition, kind of means too far for staff to commute back and forth to anywhere else, so generally they get put in staff housing in the middle of the island. Sometimes it's nice, sometimes it's not. Either way, usually there's a canteen, maybe a gym, laundromats, and a shared kitchen, but the staff can't generally, say, go to the beach, or go for a walk, or play soccer, because, to be frank, the people who own luxury resorts don't think people on vacation want to be sunbathing next to the people who work in the spa.
If you're in the island, in the same island as the guest, there's a limited spot for you to go. Like, you're not allowed to go here because it's only for the guest.
And that's a very important point for another podcast. For a resort to feel exclusive, does it literally have to be exclusionary? But that's the reality of how most staff are housed on most luxury island resorts, except here at the Ritz-Carlton Maldives.
We have our own island just for the staff. So I feel like a lot of things to do. We have the beach if we wanted to swim and then go to the gym. We have our own cafeteria to read books, have coffee. I can have my own space. Like, I will have my favorite spot in the island where I can do my own time. Like, I love reading, so I will just have a space for me in the beach so I can read peacefully.
I finally get to meet Aduham. He works in housekeeping. And full disclosure, I'm making sure to meet him because he's the housekeeper for my suite, and I really want to meet the person making these incredible ornate palm leaf sculptures on my bed. Turns out, Adam is a fan of palm leaf art, and he's also a fan of the staff island, which is called Fari Campus.
We have a whole island, right, in campus. After we finish the duty and go, the whole island is for us. Like, we can do whatever we want. Like, I mean, if I want to go to snorkeling, I can go to snorkeling. If I want to go to swimming, I can go. I don't have to take a permission or anything. Like our own island, we can do whatever we want. That's the best part of that.
So there are four Fari Island islands owned and developed by the Pontiac Land Group. They're actually man-made islands, another fascinating subject to unpack some other time. But anyway, three of the islands hold resorts, the Ritz-Carlton, the Patina Maldives, and the soon-to-open Capella. And then the fourth island is the staff island, Fari Campus, where the staff from the three resorts live. Right now, about 1,400 staff in total. After a few days at the Ritz-Carlton, I hop on a boat so I can go see this staff island for myself.
We will go first to our beach. We'll start from beach. This is Maldives, the sunny side of life, so we should start always from beach.
Nadeem is the learning and development manager at the Fari Campus.
So this is our football pitch, not only football, but also cricket, you know, every such games we play here.
The island has a free buffet-style canteen and also a small subsidized restaurant that stays open late. Plus, a small grocery store, a hair salon, a health clinic, a lounge, a computer room, and a gym. Our next spot on the tour.
This is 10 times better than what I expected.
What did you expect?
Not this. Definitely not this.
It's a really nice gym, well-equipped, overlooking the ocean with walls of windows.
So this is like, if I was staying at a hotel and it had a gym like this, I'd be overjoyed.
Yes.
Right?
Over there is the area we do yoga and some aerobic classes in the evening, maybe sunset yoga or sunrise yoga.
Pontiac Land Group really did something new with the Fari Island campus. For instance, it's not just unique that there's a staff island, but that a luxury resort architect was brought in to design it. That is definitely not the norm. And though it's too early to know the impact, the Ritz and Patina just opened in 2021, the Pontiac Land Group is confident that the Fari campus will lead to happier staff, which ultimately means easier hiring and retention, and overall better hospitality for guests.
This episode is brought to you by Destination Toronto. If you're a regular listener of this podcast, you may have heard in our Where to Go 2024 episode that Toronto was one of our top picks this year. And it is no surprise. Toronto is one of the most dynamic and diverse cities in the world. Spend a long weekend here and discover what makes it tick. Get a taste of a local classic with a pea meal and bacon and egg breakfast sandwich at the St. Lawrence Market. There are no peas involved, we promise. Stroll around Little Tibet, a neighborhood with one of the largest Tibetan populations outside of Asia. Dine at one of 15 Michelin-starred restaurants. Or open your mind at the Royal Ontario Museum, Canada's largest museum. There's so much to discover and savor. Find your Toronto at destinationtoronto.com.
Hi, I'm Phelan Johnson.
And I'm Leah Simone Bowen, and we look at history a bit differently. Have you ever wondered how hundreds of wild horses came to inhabit an island in the Atlantic Ocean?
Or what Lord of the Rings and a small town in Manitoba have in common? Or the burning question, did Canada invent the teen drama?
The Secret Life of Canada is a podcast about the country you know and the stories you don't. New episodes available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We check out one of the rooms. Nadeem's room, in fact. So this part is similar to how other properties do worker housing. The size of your room and how many people you share it with is determined by your job. If you work in housekeeping or the spa, you probably have a four share, meaning you have three roommates and you're in bunk beds. But if you're a manager like Nadeem, you probably have a single. Depending on your work level here, there's even housekeeping. Nadeem's room is modern and bright. There's a double bed and a sofa and a desk and a big ceiling fan.
Okay, so the mini fridge.
TV.
TV you had to bring or they bring?
No, it's provided from here.
Oh, that's yeah. nice.
Also, every room apparently comes with the biggest water bottle I have ever seen.
What's this? What's with this water bottle?
Oh, this is Fari Campus water bottle. So every room, all the resident has one.
Oh, okay. That's
yeah.
a lot of water. A
lot of water, yes. So what I do, I fill it from the pantry, I bring it, I boil it, then I drink.
I join Nadim and a group of workers in the canteen for lunch.
The feeling that you leave your work behind there and you come to be a better version of yourself in your own island is, I think, very, very unique feeling we all get when we are living in our staff island, Fari Campus.
Having a separate island like this gives us more freedom to do more activities, to well, there's no restrictions, you know, to walk around the island. So you feel that, freedom.
So the lunch at the staff island cantina was good. But later, I had dinner with some staff from the Patina, who also live on the staff island. We ate at the resort's Patagonian steakhouse, and I ate a very, very nice steak. And just so we're clear, the cantina was nice, but the steak was extraordinary. And yeah, hotel staff can enjoy the amenities at the resorts. They can book dinner at a hotel restaurant, a massage in the spa, or a night in an overwater bungalow at a 50% discount. There are regular boats between the staff island and the other resort islands, plus regular boats back to the mainland.
Hi, my name is Fatma. I am the events and curations coordinator. I started working at Patina in early 2021, way before we opened. Yes.
Wow.
I was actually one of the first line level staff to come to the island. They are very much into the work-life balance concept here. And it's just a 10 to 15 minute boat ride away from the place that we work and the place we have our accommodation. And it's perfect. It has everything. It's very clean. It's very new. You get the privacy and you even get to go to Male every day. There's a boat arranged for you 3 times a day. So we can just go back and forth to see our parents and family anytime we want.
Let's not paint everything too rosy. Maldivian tourism is a $500 billion plus industry, but you still have staff making relative pennies compared to the thousands of dollars a day being spent by guests. As of 2021, tourism accounted for roughly a quarter of the Maldivian economy and one-third of government revenue. Yeah, that means many in the Maldives have a stable source of income, but there's also a price to pay. For instance, many have to work away from their families for large periods of time. Nadim, the learning and development manager, has a 5-year-old and a 10-year-old who live on his home island in the Maldives.
Normally, the mattresses they have over there, uh-huh. The bed will be over there, sofa will be over here, but I just feel this way because I bring my family, and so it's easy for us to have this setup. We have single accommodation, so we can bring our family, and they can live with us for 90 days.
Nadim's walls are pretty blank, except for a tiny little cluster of tiny little handwritten notes, which were clearly written by tiny little hands.
I can tell from the...
Some of the notes.
I figured that wasn't your handwriting.
They leave me notes, you know, when I come from work, I see their notes.
So
they have drawings. Even you can see, this is not what I use.
Yeah, yeah.
Some they use it, so yeah.
So they live at home, but
yes.
They come...
During school holidays, they school come, holidays. And they are coming this month, 22nd as well.
And you go when you have your
your
leave.
Yeah, correct.
That must be hard.
But it is what it is, right? And most of the locals who live in the resorts, this is our life.
During my stay at the Ritz-Carlton, I met a man from the Philippines who was incredibly excited to be working there, his first job in the Maldives, because now he could finally be near his mother, who works at a different resort on a different island. She's worked in the Maldives for most of his life. So does the Fari Campus model cure all the complexities of island resorts? No. The good news is the Maldives has strong minimum wage laws, and Ritz workers get generous vacation days, over a month off per year. But again, still, while I was working there, I heard about a family that, if I'm doing the math right, spent more in a weekend than a Ritz housekeeper makes in a year. Travel, whether it's in the Maldives or Manhattan or anywhere in between, is often about those who have being served by those who have less. And yet, at least in the way that they're innovating their staff housing, the Fari Islands and their owners are maybe, hopefully, making things a little more just. Or at least feel more just. And that's important too.
Here's Abby again from the spa.
But I feel that if you're in the island, in the same island as the guest, there's a limited spot for you to go. But if you have your own staff island, you can go whatever. Like, you can swim, you can snorkel. Like, I feel like I am the guest in the campus, like that.
That was Sally Cohn, and that was the Ritz-Carlton Maldives and the Fairy Islands. We'll link to the resort's website in the show notes, and we'll also link to Sally's book, as well as her social media handles and the other stories she's written for Afar. We'll see you next week. Ready for more unpacking? Visit afar.com and be sure to follow us on Instagram and X. We are at Afar Media. If you enjoyed today's exploration, I hope you'll come back for more great stories. Subscribing always makes that easy. And be sure to rate and review the show on your favorite podcast platforms. It helps other travelers find it. And if you ever want to ask a question or suggest a topic for coverage, you can reach out to us at afar.com/feedback or email us at unpacked@afar.com. This has been Unpacked, a production of Afar Media. The podcast is produced by Aislinn Green and Nikki Galteland. Music composition by Chris Collin. And remember, the world is complicated. We're here to help you unpack it.